Okay, turn your Bibles to the 139th Psalm, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to be looking at another passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. So 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11, and Psalm 139, 1 through 6. Okay, today we're going to be talking about the Always God, continuing in the series on the Always God. And today's theme topic is that God is always seeing. You know, last week, over the last few weeks, we discovered a God who never changes. Just as he moved in the past in people's lives, he continues to move in people's lives today. In week one, we spoke of a God who is still hearing. I'm sorry, still speaking. And he does still speak to us in many ways. In week two, we learned about a God who is still hearing. And we talked about the beauty of serving a God whose ears are open to the cries of his people. Today, we're going to be talking about a God who sees. And I want us to understand this truth. The God who sees is the God who cares. The God who sees is the God who cares. I want today's message to be a message of hope. I want you to know that God has not forgotten you. Have you ever had that thought? Surely we have at some point in our lives. Maybe we were going through a difficult trial or a difficult time, and the losses in our lives are mounting up, and it seems like we just can't catch a break. Or maybe you look around at work, and you see people who are being promoted, and you're working hard, and you're trying to honor the Lord, and you're trying to be that person who doesn't cut corners, but then that person comes along, and they do all of those things that we as Christians shouldn't do. They kiss up, they cut corners, and it seems like they get the promotion and they get the raise. Or maybe it's you see the evil in the world, and we watch the news, we hear the news in the morning, and we learn of senseless murders, and we hear of people being taken advantage of, and we hear of lives being lost to some kind of tragedy. And the question that comes to our minds is, God, are you seeing this? When we take it to the root, the question really is, God, do you care? God, do you care? And our text, one of our texts this morning from 1 Peter 6 through 11, Peter writes to the Christians, and they were involved. They were involved in intense persecution. They were being abused. They were being discriminated against. They were being taken advantage of. And some have even died because of their faith. And Peter writes to encourage them to keep trusting in Jesus, to put their hope in him. And in so doing, he reminds them that God still cares, that God sees them. So let's look at 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 11. Peter writes, "So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your cares on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all peace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So I want us to see that God sees the things that he sees things and he knows things. And the first thing that he sees is he knows. The first thing that he sees and knows are the things that we do. You know, we sometimes find ourselves wondering what God is doing. Have you ever questioned that? Have you ever wondered what God does in heaven? What is he doing? Is he paying attention? Well, I want us to know, I want to share with you that he is sitting on his throne. He is looking out over all of his creation. He is ruling and he is reigning and he is working out his plans for this world and for each of our lives. God knows everything, everything possible, everything actual, all events in the past and that will be in the future. He is perfect in knowledge. He knows no one thing better than any other thing, but he knows all things equally well. He never discovers anything. He is never surprised, and he is never amazed. He never discovers anything. He never wonders about anything. He doesn't seek information or ask questions. He knows all things, and he knows how everything fits together. And yes, he is paying attention. And he is observing all of our deeds and all of our actions. The psalmist writes in the 139th Psalm that Pastor Kyle shared some with. He says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You know, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Oh Lord, you hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. You know when I rise and when I sit," he says. God knows when we sit down. He knows when we stand up. He knows when we plop down in our lazy boy. He knows when we get up to get nachos and cheese. He knows all about us. He knows us intimately. He sees everything. He's never surprised. Matthew 6, 4 through 6, the words of Jesus. "But when you give to the needy, do not let the left hand know what your right hand is doing." Do it that way for you. "So that you give, when you give in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, that they have received their reward. But when you pray, go in your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who sees in secret, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you." God notices the things that we do. Even if others don't pay attention or it goes by them, God knows and God sees. He sees our actions, and he sees our obedience, and he will reward those things that we do. That's all good. What about the other side of the coin? He also sees our disobedience, and he sees our sin, and he knows every move that we make. Years ago, there was a song by Sting. Those of you who listen to other music might remember the song, "Every Move You Make." How many of you will admit to that? Okay, good, I'm not alone. Woo! I was starting to feel a little bit of conviction that I know other songs besides Christian songs. "And every move you make, and every vow you break, and every smile you fake, and every claim you stake, I'll be watching you. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you." Think about those words and apply them to God and what God sees. Would he be happy with every move we make, the things we think, the things we say, the things we do? Jeremiah writes in chapter 16, verse 17, "For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes." You may think God won't notice what I do with that expense report. You may think that if the door is closed and the lights are out, that he won't see me clicking on that website that I have no business going on. You may be thinking that he will not see me speaking to my wife or my husband in that manner. You may think that he will not see or notice when I take advantage of someone's kindness. You may think that he will not see the attitude that I bring in to these doors as I come to worship him. You may think that he will not see the heart that I have when I bring my offering. Hebrews 4:13 says, "And no creature is hidden from his sight. Nothing is hidden from him. We stand naked," or as Pastor Stan would say, naked. "Naked and exposed before him. Nothing gets past him. He sees everything. He sees our faithfulness, and he sees our obedience, and he sees our unfaithfulness, and he sees our disobedience." In 1 Peter, Peter wants to encourage the believers to understand and to know that God sees what they're going through. He says, "Humble yourselves in the light of all that they were experiencing, so that at the proper time they may be exalted." Or are they going to be stiff-necked toward God for what he's allowing them to go through? You know, sometimes we face a similar choice. When we go through those tough times, we can either trust God to provide for us, to take care of us, to lift us up, or we can stiffen our neck. Matt's got a stiff neck today. We could stiffen our neck and harden our hearts toward God. God wants us to stay the course. He sees and he knows. What else does God know? God knows what we think. He says, "You perceive my thoughts from afar," David writes. It's amazing and so difficult to comprehend, but God knows what we think before we even think it. Have you ever had that experience with someone? You had that conversation, or and they asked you something, and you're lost in thought, and you ask them, "Well, what are you thinking?" For us guys, sometimes we don't have to be thinking. Sometimes we just blank in, we just check out, and we're just enjoying the peace and the quiet. We don't have to always be thinking about something. But God knows. He doesn't have to ask what we're thinking. He knows all that we're thinking, and he still loves us, that he still loves us. He also knows where we go. "You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways," David writes. Okay, teenagers, close your eyes and your ears. Has anyone ever snuck out of the house as a teenager? Maybe you climb, Tracy, I knew you would raise your hand. You climb out of the window, maybe to get away from punishment or to go to a party that you were told not to go to. You thought you were slick, you thought you were sly, you thought you were getting away with something. Or maybe you came home late and you tried to sneak in and you were quiet about it. But you know what? God knows our comings and our goings. And your parents knew that you were doing that. A burglar broke into a house one night and he's showing his flashlight around and he was looking for valuables and he heard his voice in the dark saying, "Jesus knows you're here." The guy nearly jumped out of his skin, and he clicked his flashlight off, and he froze. And when he heard nothing more, after a bit, he shook his head, and he continued. Just as he pulled the stereo out, he was about to disconnect the wires. Clear as a bell, he heard, "Jesus is watching you." He was freaked out. He shined his light around again, looking for the source of the voice. Finally, in the corner of the room, the flashlight beam came to rest on a parrot. "Did you say that?" he hissed at the parrot. "Yep." The parrot confessed and squawked, "I'm just trying to warn you that he is watching you." The burglar relaxed. "Warn me, huh? Who in the world are you?" "Moses," replied the bird. "Moses," the burglar laughed. What kind of people would name a bird Moses? The same kind of people that would name a Rottweiler Jesus. Jesus is watching you. He knows where we go. He can see everything. He can discern everything. He can sift through our lives. He understands what's really going on. He can comprehend the good things we do and the bad things we do from the time we stumble out of bed until the time that we lay our head down to collapse at the end of the day. He sees it all, even when we think we're making our escape through the window. He knows our comings and our goings. This truth can be very encouraging to us, or it might be a point of concern for some of us. God, our Father, knows us intimately. He knows our ways. He also knows what we say. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. If you're like me at all, you never know sometimes what's going to come out of your mouth until you say it. We talked about that today in Sunday school, right? Be quick to hear and slow to anger. And what was that, Matt? Slow to speak, right? Sometimes we have to take the time before we say what we're thinking so that we make sure it comes out the right way. God not only hears everything we say, he knows what we're going to say before we even form that word in our mouth. He also knows what we need. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. David is using analogy here from war. He knows all about strategic battle plans and ambushes and how to surround a city. And David felt trapped by God's knowledge of his every thought, his word, and his every deed. He knew that God had surrounded him. He can't turn back to escape, and he can't turn around to run because God is there. But look at verse 6. As David ponders the fact that God knows him completely, he's blown away and he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. You know, when we think about that, God knowing us so intimately, he knows our words and our deeds and our actions, we should be glad that he knows us in that fashion, that he knows us so intimately. So God sees what we do, and God also sees what we do not. Not what we do not do, but what we can't see. Remember where God is positioned. He is ruling and he is reigning. He is sitting. He is enthroned over all of creation, and he is sovereign. He sees things differently than we do. He has what I call a press box view of life. If you've ever been in the upper seats or in a press box or in a luxury suite, where's she at? There she is, press box suite. Keely, yes, thank you for that reminder. If you've ever been in a press box or had that vantage point, it's different than what everyone else sees. God is in that press box view seat, and he sees things because of where he is positioned better and differently from our perspective. He sees things that we do not see. What does he see? He sees the motives of our heart. He sees why we obey, why we disobey. He sees the heart. Remember when Samuel was called to anoint the next king of Israel? Jesse brings in all of his sons, and the first one Samuel comes across is Eliab. And Samuel was impressed by what he sees. Eliab is tall and he's handsome and he looks like he could be the king. But God, he's not impressed. Again, he sees things that we don't. The account of that is in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on the appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God sees what we do not see, and that's a good thing, because God sees and he cares. Last week, we talked about prayer, and having a God who hears our prayers is good, and sometimes we question why God doesn't hear or why God doesn't answer the prayers that we ask Him in the way that we ask or in the way that we hope. It's because God sees what we don't see. God is the ultimate air traffic controller. He sees all the planes in the sky. He knows exactly what's going on with all situations and everyone, all at the same time. He sees all of the pieces in play. He sees what will bring us harm. He sees what will bring Him the most glory. He sees the causes and the effects of every choice we make before we even make it. And that's why we can say and believe with confidence the promise of Romans 8:28, where we find these words. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Our seeing is limited, but God's is not. And this is one of the main reasons why we can worship God, because He sees us. He sees all things. He even sees our adversary, the devil, in verse 7 of 1 Peter. Our adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. He sees what is real, and the battle that we're in is a real battle. Paul's words from Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So he reminds, Peter does, those hearers, those believers, he reminds them to stand firm in their faith, because it's their faith that will allow them to see with spiritual eyes those things that they could never see with their physical eyes. And then God sees what has us down. Does that bring you comfort? Does that bring you hope to know that God sees us, that He knows what brings us down? He sees us in the midst of our pain and our hurt. He sees us in our struggle and our hardship. He sees us in our confusion and our tears. He sees us in our loneliness. Kathy, God sees you. Bruce, God sees you. Cheryl, God sees you. Paula, God sees you. God sees us. You remember the story of Sarah in the Bible, Abraham's wife, and their servant Hagar? God had promised that He would that they would have a child, but often in life they were having to wait on God to deliver. But like us, they didn't want to wait on God, and they thought that God had forgotten them, so they do the worst thing that they could ever do, and they take things into their own hands. So Sarah and Abraham make that decision to involve Hagar, their servant. She becomes pregnant. Then Sarah becomes very jealous and bitter and angry. Hagar runs away. She's the servant doing what she was asked to do. She's tired. She's alone. She and absolutely has nothing and no one. And at that moment in her life, the angel of the Lord comes and appears to her and tells her to go back and to submit to Abraham and to Sarah. And the angel of the Lord promises her that she will have a son. And then this response from her in Genesis 16, verse 13. So she called on the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God of seeing. For she said, truly, here I have seen Him who looks after me. Even back then, she attributed the attributes of God as being a God who sees her in her time of need. He was Jehovah Roi to her, which means the God who sees me. This is the God we serve. This is the God who sees you. He sees what you are going through. And in seeing you, he's looking after you, and he's showing that he cares for you. This should bring us much comfort and hope. So what is weighing on your heart today? Is it a broken relationship? Was there abuse in your past? Is there a secret sin that you're dealing with? Are there bills piling up and you don't know where the relief is coming from? Is there an addiction or an illness or an injury? Is there the death of a loved one? Peter writes in verse 7, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. God sees every tear you shed. God sees the suffering that you're experiencing. In verse 10, Peter writes, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Your battle, your testing, your suffering may not feel like it's been going on for a little while. But in light of eternity, that's all that it is. It's just for a moment. It's for a little time. I told you today that this was a message of hope. And the fact that Jesus himself will restore, that he will confirm, that he will strengthen, and that he will establish us is that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So God sees what we do. God sees what we don't. God sees what has us down. And then God sees what Jesus has done. When God looks down on us, he sees only two categories of people. There are those who are in Christ and those who are not. Don't want to point that way. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, God no longer sees us and our sin, but instead he sees his son, Jesus. Colossians 3:3-4 says this, for you have died and your life is hidden with God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. You can't appear with him in glory if your life is not hidden with Christ. For the believer, that's easy for us to understand. But there may be some here today, this sounds like a foreign language. And it only makes sense when you apply what Jesus has done for each and every person in the world to themselves. The Word of God says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is what it means to place our faith in, to trust in Jesus. It's coming to a place where we understand that we're all sinners, and the Word of God tells us that there are none perfect. We all fall short. We all miss the mark. Our sin, those things that we think, do, and say that break the heart of God, prevents us from having a relationship with a holy God. But God provided a way for us to be made right. God saw, because God sees, God saw our greatest need. So God sent Jesus to pay the price that our sins demanded. And all we have to do is receive the gift for ourselves. And then what Jesus did for the whole world, for everyone, can be applied to us personally. So what does God see when he sees you? Does he see Christ due to your trusting in him, in his death for, on your behalf? Or does he see someone following their own reign and their own rule, marching to their own drummer, doing their own thing? God sees and God knows. And what God sees is always certain. If you don't know this God that sees and cares for you in a personal way, I want to invite you to ask him to be that for you. And he will. He's just waiting for you to invite him in. And if you do know him, know with confidence that he is still seeing you. Everything you do, and he is still caring for you like only he can. Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for your word. Thank you, Father, for its truth. It is truth. Thank you, Father, for the conviction it brings upon our lives. Thank you, Father, for the mirror that it represents as we examine where we are and the things that we do. And we know that you see everything, that nothing catches you by surprise. You know all things. You know our obedience and our disobedience. You know the things that we partake in and the things that we should not be involved in. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would just help us to understand that truth and understand the reality that wherever we are as a believer, you're with us. Father, if there's any here today who have never trusted in Jesus as their Savior, Lord, I would ask that you would help them to see, first of all, just how much God loves each and every one of us. That God sees us in our time of need, that sees us where we are. He knows our comings and our going. He knows when we lie down and when we get up. And God, you still love us in spite of all of that. So I pray, God, if there's any that have never received you as their Savior, I would ask, God, that they would present themselves, they'd come forward, and then the word would be revealed to them, and that they can see how easy it is to have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray, God, you would just forgive all of us our sin. Help us, Father, to understand your great love for each of us. Help each of us, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing to you. And God, if there's a decision that needs to be made, whether it is for salvation, whether it is for a church membership, Lord, whether it is to be baptized in the waters of baptism, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient, that we would be responsive, God, and that we would just not just hear your word, but that we would do something with it. Again, we give you all the glory, and we give this time to you. This is your time. This is your invitation, and help us, Father, to be responsive. And I would pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll please stand, we'll sing this hymn. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes. If there's a decision you need to make, please come forward. Let me pray with you, and let me help you make that decision that's on your heart.